Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Happy New Year, everybody. It's our 10th live New Year program. And I won't say New Year's Day program because there were a few of those days when the New Year's was on Saturday and Sunday. I'll have to go back and figure that out. I can do that, by the way. We have those records. Figure out how many days it's been. I guess it's been... Anyway, this is the 10th year I've done a live New Year's program. And I'm excited about having my friend Gene Greisman join us on this great occasion. Gene is one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the world. He has a resume that would knock your socks off. And I don't have time to read all of it or tell you about all of it now. I will tell you, though, he is a very impressive guy and the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, one of my favorite books in the world. Also the author of Time Tactics of Very Successful People. And I'm glad to say he's my good friend. Gene, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be with you, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. Before we get into the... We're going to talk about resolutions a little bit.
Yes.
Before we get into that, though, you grew up, if I'm not mistaken, you were born and grew up in part of your time growing up in South Carolina. Did you tell
me that? That is right. I was born in Spartanburg.
Yeah. Well, there's a pretty famous guy besides you, who another famous South Carolinian, who died last week. The godfather of soul.
Oh, yes.
James Brown. And well, he's probably pretty close to being one of your contemporaries, isn't he?
Well, not only was he my contemporary, but when I first started doing television programs at the Superstation, TBS in Atlanta,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
James Brown had a regular show.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, Ted Turner in those days was playing I Love Lucy and playing movies over and over and over again. So Ted did three original programs at Turner. There was James Brown, who did Saturday Bandstand.
Mm-hmm.
There was live wrestling. And me.
Yeah, and what were you doing?
I did my interviews with celebrities.
That was when you were doing your interviews.
That's right.
Did you ever interview James Brown?
No, I did not. Probably should have.
I was going to...
I hosted long television specials, too, that were nationwide.
Right. And yeah, many of you will remember that. Gene is well known for that. What did you think about James Brown?
One, he was very friendly, just outgoing, one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. That's my main feeling about him. Of course, his music was a little bit over the edge for me, a good bit of it.
I liked his music.
but by the way, he became immensely wealthy through the royalties of some of his songs.
Well, and also as the owner of businesses like radio stations.
Yes.
What I remember him, one of the things that I think of him, you know, we talk about, we also lost Gerald Ford this year, this week, which we'll talk about in a minute. But what I remember, we often call Gerald Ford the accidental president. I think James Brown was the accidental role model. And the reason I say that is because, as you know, he grew up in a very, very tough, he spent a lot of years in reform school, and he had a troubled adult life, too.
Yeah.
But I remember his words, his attempts to calm things down, back in the 60s especially, when I remember he got on television one time, Gene, and he said, he was talking to the young folks, you know, the young black people.
Yeah.
He said, look, he said, when I was growing up, he said, I used to listen to music from a radio station. He said, today I own that radio station. He said, that's black power.
Hmm.
I'll never forget him. I was so proud of him for that.
Well, I liked him. We had several conversations at the station, and then I Later on, I lived in Atlanta, and the dentist he visited was in the condominium where I lived, so his big black limousine would pull up in front so he could get his dental work. So we chatted there.
Well,
I liked him a lot.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you giving us those anecdotes, memories of James Brown. You know, he was very important. He was a significant influence on a lot of people who are making music today.
Well, he was willing not to be bound by the past. He was willing to try new things.
And isn't that the kind of spirit that's made America what it is today?
Absolutely.
And I suspect that President Abraham Lincoln was a lot like that. We come back. I'm going to get Gene to tell us a little bit about what Mr. Lincoln would say about New Year's resolutions. Also, maybe what he would think about President Ford, the recently passed President Ford. 20 till.
Right.
I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Gene Griseman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Gene Griseman, the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By. Gene, tell us what President Lincoln, by the way, Gene's one of the world's top portrayers of Lincoln, and many of you may have seen him in various venues as President Lincoln. Gene, what would the president say about it on the, if he were talking to us on New Year's Day, what would he say to us?
Well, I've given this a good bit of thought when you asked me to do it. Lincoln was a man of resolution, and I think in resolutions, it's not so much making them as keeping them.
Mm-hmm. And more's the pity.
That's right. And I'll read you, was looking through the words Lincoln lived by, chapter 48, last sentence. He said in a letter written 2 years before his election to the presidency, remembering a lifetime of commitment, Lincoln advised in a letter, "By all means, don't say, if I can. Say, I will."
Hmm.
And I have, that chastened me. How many times have you said, if I can, I'm going to do that?
Right.
Lincoln wouldn't have ever said that.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, I will do it, or I won't.
Perhaps Henry Ford was thinking of those words when I think he was the guy who said, if you think you can, or if you think you can't, either way, you're correct.
Hmm. I think that's very important to say, I will. Don't say, if I can. Now, I think Lincoln, I know Lincoln internalized some principles. I looked for that word resolve. And one of the resolutions that when he used that word resolve, he wrote a piece to lawyers, advice to lawyers, and he said, by all means, resolve to be honest. And if you cannot be a lawyer and be honest, resolve to be honest without being a lawyer.
That's classic Lincoln, isn't it?
There's another in that same advice that he gave to lawyers. He said, "Be diligent."
I love when hearing about the advice he gave to lawyers.
Isn't that wonderful? And Lincoln was, there were lawyer jokes in his day. He said, "It's generally assumed that lawyers can't be honest." He said, "Resolve to be honest, and if you can't be a lawyer and be honest, resolve to be honest without being a lawyer." And then another one. The leading rule for the lawyer, as for the man of every calling, is diligence. Leave nothing for tomorrow which can be done today. So I wrote down at least four basic principles that made Lincoln who he was. Honesty, resolve to be honest, diligence, justice. He gave some advice to a person who had just become a justice of the peace. And Lincoln said, let me give you just some simple advice. He said, when you're thinking about what to do in a situation, think, what is the right thing to do? What is the just thing to do? But then the fourth principle was mercy. He said, strict justice may not be the best policy. It ought to be tempered with mercy. Now, another basic principle Billy Herndon talked about this. He said, Lincoln was always calculating, always planning ahead. Now, Lincoln, in his planning ahead, generally did it in terms of situations. He thought, he would think, where is this likely to go? And then he would position himself so that he was in the right spot when it got there. He was also always calculating about how people would behave and anticipating their behavior and behaving himself accordingly.
Mm-hmm. So he would be prepared going into almost any situation.
That is exactly right.
He would have mentally had a little skull practice to think about what was he going to find when he got there.
Exactly. His first senior law partner said, Lincoln, when you try a case, spend more time thinking about what your opponent is going to say than you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So he was always calculating, always planning ahead. And I think that's what we need to do.
How did that serve him? How do you think that served him?
It served him, example, it served him in positioning himself strategically on the slavery issue.
Mm-hmm.
He predicted in a very famous speech, which is called the House Divided Against Itself speech,
mm-hmm.
he said, this country cannot permanently endure half slave, half free. It will become all one or all of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very revolutionary at the time when he mm-hmm. said that. But when he came off the platform, it was a campaign speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'll finish the thought. I hear
all right. I've got a quote for you from Mr. Lincoln that I want Gene to talk about. When we come back after these messages, it's 10 till. I'm Jim Blastingame. Gene Griseman is our guest, and we'll be right back.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships rolling.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Happy New Year, everyone. Dr. Gene Griseman is our guest. He's our good friend. And Gene, give us your website, please.
It is www.presidentlincoln.com. Presidentlincoln.com. Incidentally, I've got a number of great quotes on that, Lincoln quotes on that website. And if your listeners will go to that website, click on it, they'll get a complimentary subscription to the Achievement Digest.
And it's outstanding, ladies and gentlemen. Once a month?
Once a month.
Yeah, it's one of the best, and I'm a happy subscriber myself. They can also find your books there, right? Time Tactics.
That's right.
And The Words Lincoln Lived By, and you got some CDs there too, don't you?
Yes, I have. The Lincoln on Communication.
Gene, you were. I had to interrupt you as we went to the break. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yes, I was talking about the House Divided speech.
Yes,
it was a speech that he made in his debates with Douglas. And he, up until that time, the United States had been built on compromise between the slave states and the free states.
Mm-hmm.
One compromise after another, which had eventually broken down. Lincoln predicted in that speech that the compromises would have to come to an end. The United States would become all one, all the other. When he came off the stage, his friends said, "That is the most foolish thing you've ever said. You've just lost the election." Which he did. He lost that election
yeah.
for the Senate. And he said, "Gentlemen, you will one day see that that's the wisest thing I ever said.
Well, he said it as a leader, not as a politician.
Yes, and he also did it based on his prediction. You and I were talking during the break, like the great Gretzky, the great hockey player who said,
right.
I don't follow the puck, I go to where the puck is going to be. That's Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln thought, where is society moving? I'm going to position myself so I'm in the right place when it gets there.
But as you're doing that, it makes you look like you're, sometimes it makes you look like you're a fool, doesn't it?
Made him look like a strange radical.
Mm-hmm. Here's something, folks. One of the first things that I underlined for my own consumption to never forget that Gene Grisman said, these are Gene's words in the words Lincoln lived by, as he reflects on President Lincoln's ideas about determination and about being resolute. Here's what Gene says. If you truly want something, you should act as if the object of your desire is already on its way to you. Gene, I love those words. And I underline those words however long I've known you, 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
Whenever I got your book, that was one of the first things I underlined in your book.
And I really believe that. I'll tell you something I don't know if I ever told you. When I first started doing my Abraham Lincoln play and felt lucky if somebody even paid me, I wrote on a 3x5 card, I will perform Abe Lincoln at Ford's Theater.
Wow.
I've done it twice.
Wow. Well, the next time you do it, I hope you'll let me know because I'm planning on being there.
Yes.
I'm not going to plan on being there. I will be there.
Thank you, sir, and you'll get an invitation.
Hey, Gene.
But when it was such a far-fetched dream, I wrote it down and carried it with me.
Yep.
I will do this. And that's
if you will look at, folks, I've done those things myself, and if you'll have that kind of a goal, and you know, if it's something you really want, in America, Gene, if you really want something bad enough and you're willing to work hard enough and persevere and be resolute, you can make it happen, can't you?
I totally agree. America is the greatest experiment in the history of the world at democratizing opportunity.
140-something years after...
giving people a chance.
140-something years after Lincoln, who called it an experiment, you think it's still an experiment?
It's still an ongoing experiment.
Because we're still evolving, aren't we?
Still enlarging our opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. Quickly, Gene, I've got 1 minute. What would Mr. Lincoln think about Mr. Ford, President Ford?
He would think he's a great hero. He was a person who, in a very difficult time, found a compromise. There's nothing wrong with compromise in helping to preserve the Union.
And you know, Gene, something else I think he did. He always said, you know, when people would talk about whether he was, how great a president he was, he said, well, remember, I'm a Ford, not a Lincoln. And I thought that was a great thing for him to say. But I'll tell you something.
That's the kind of thing Lincoln would have said.
Exactly.
He would have said, I'm a common man.
Exactly. But what I'm talking about Mr. Ford is I wish some of our current day politicians would have the kind of leadership that he had when he, even though he probably knew it was going to cost him the next election, he pardoned Nixon because it was the right thing to do for the nation.
And that was what I was referring to just
yep.
a minute ago.
Yep.
And help preserve the Union.
Yep, yep. We need more of that kind of leadership today, Gene. Thank you for being here. Happy New Year. Let's have a good 2007 together. What do you think?
We are going to do that.
Thank you, Gene. We will have it. Dr. Gene Grisman, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.